is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Six after on this Thursday. Welcome to it, my friends. Glad to have you here. The hotline number. Common Sense Hotline, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. All right, on Wednesday, Congress voted overwhelmingly to override a veto by President Obama for the very first time, passing into law a bill that would allow the families of those killed and maimed in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks to sue Saudi Arabia for any role in the plot. Now, what's going to happen here now is trials in Lower Manhattan, potentially, and a discovery process that might shed light on the relationship, the shady relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia from the George W. Bush years to the Barack Obama years and to what might be involved. The president said this is a terrible idea, says people have to do hard things sometimes. They didn't do it. Democrats in large numbers joined with Republicans to deliver a remarkable, just a stunning rebuke of the president. The 97-1 vote in the Senate and the 348-77 vote in the House display the enduring power of the September 11 families in Washington and the diminishing influence here of the Saudi government. So that was, well, it was huge, frankly. And it shows that this president is certainly a lame duck now. I mean, no question that he's certainly a lame duck now. Now, congressional leaders, on another story, congressional leaders had the playbook for quite some time now, how to avoid a government shutdown, and they executed the plays finally. Republicans and Democrats got together. The key, the linchpin in this whole deal, Flint, and the water projects, and the money going to Flint to fix their lead problems in the water supply. They knew, the Republicans knew, if Democrats got what they needed there, that they could move forward. The bipartisan deal on Flint, as it was the key that unlocked everything else. After a flurry of phone calls and meetings, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan and his understudy Nancy Pelosi from the Democratic Party reached a deal Tuesday on a federal aid plan to address Flint, the final major sticking point in negotiations over a 10-week bill to fund the government. Ryan, very victorious in attitude, said, "We decided we don't want to create brinksmanship that doesn't do anybody any good." My question continues to be this. If you send tens of millions of dollars to Flint, what about the next city? And the city after that, and after that, and after that, because we have infrastructure issues all over this country. Now, it's still, in my estimation, Flint's injury was self-inflicted because they didn't balance the pH in the water supply. Something that would have cost about $30,000 annually. Otherwise, you would likely have averted this entire problem, which is why criminal charges have been filed by the AG, and the case continues. But there's a $170 million amendment to help fix Flint water, among other issues. So we'll obviously keep an eye on that. Hey, here's something for you. On the front page of the Washington Post, this is a little surprising. A story about Bill and Hillary Clinton and the eruption of bimbos, as they called it back in the 1990s. Here's the headline, "Enabler or Family Defender? How Hillary Clinton responded to husband's accusers." Reminding everybody about all of this, Hillary Clinton has wrestled with allegations surrounding her husband's infidelities for most of their 40-year marriage, including a sexual harassment lawsuit, a grand jury investigation and settlement, and an impeachment vote centered on his untruthfulness about a relationship with a White House intern. Now, Donald Trump and his surrogates have signaled that he may bring up the subject in the next presidential debate. Treacherous territory, given his own infidelities and treatment of women that has been dragged into the spotlight, but dragged there by Hillary Clinton herself, making it free game. And nobody, nobody has treated women like chattel the way Bill Clinton has over his lifetime. To try to compare anything that Donald Trump has done to what Bill Clinton has done, it just isn't there. Clinton's friends say they have seen her deal with Bill Clinton's conduct before, bristling at threats and countering them with steely determination. Her reaction, said longtime Arkansas friend Jim Blair, is to face accusers and respond thusly, "These people are not going to run over us." I might remind you, she called Monica Lewinsky narcissistic and a mental case. Clearly not. Her detractors say that Clinton has unfairly lashed out over the years at the women involved in her husband's indiscretions over and over and over. Her responses have forced her to walk a fine line during the campaign on sexual assault issues, even as she builds strong political support among some female voters. I might remind you that she's running 17 points behind Donald Trump with married women. Trump and his, the Washington Post failed to point that out. I'm here to help. Trump and his backers have kept the subject alive with taunting social media messages. And this week, Trump congratulated himself for taking the high road and not mentioning it during Monday's debate, saying it would be extremely rough. Eric Trump said it took courage by not waging the attack, even as Trump surrogates began to do so on national TV. Clinton's Little Rock pastor, Ed Matthews, recalled a conversation with Hillary Clinton in 1992, after he noticed explicit drawings of Bill Clinton in the parking lot just outside the church that Hillary and Chelsea Clinton attended. The pastor said he asked her in a phone call how she was dealing with it. She said bluntly, the Methodist minister said in an interview, telling him that her family had dealt with such rumors for years and would get through it. But they weren't rumors, were they? The issue of infidelity and how women are treated and sexual assault and rape are some of the allegations that have been leveled against Bill Clinton. But when you were a person of great money and great power, hell, you're the president of the United States.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Well, you ask your wife, is that a sexual relation or is that something different? From where I came from, that, you know, that's a pretty simple call. Anyhow, that's on the front page of the Washington Post today, which is a little surprising to me. A little surprising that the Washington Post is going down that road. Meanwhile, In another headline, Clinton campaign in panic mode over Florida black voters, which is interesting, considering the major news media and everybody else have been telling us Donald Trump isn't pulling any black voters to speak of. Well, he is. We've been telling you that here for a long time. We've had a parade of black Trump supporters here and black conservatives here on this program saying, well, it's not true. There are a lot of black voters that are going to vote for Donald Trump because they're sick and tired of getting used by the Democrats. And to kill Donald Trump's chance of capturing the White House, Hillary Clinton needs to win Florida. And to do that, she needs a big minority turnout. But Democrats are beginning to worry that too many African Americans are uninspired by Clinton or voting for Trump. Bill Clinton, once nicknamed the first black president, embarks on a North Florida bus tour tomorrow in an attempt to draw African-American crowds at the same time, which is always good, because Bill's always a little bit dangerous out there. We'll keep an eye on that. It's 14 after on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.